never filtered. Always fun. This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog.
Just what in the hell do you think you're doing?
It's Mail It In Friday.
Certainly there's nothing wrong with a little feast on our time.
Yeah, whatever.
You just gotta keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
It's Mail It In Friday.
Shut up and drive.
On TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan is game one of the ALCS tonight. Got a poll up on Twitter asking Jays fans, how would you compare your confidence level going into this year's ALCS compared to last year in Kansas City? 63% voting much higher. 31% saying about the same, only 6% saying much lower.
I want to talk to one former athlete and kind of another one. Do you believe in the idea of learning? Like they're saying the Jays, you know, they're in this situation last year. Can you actually take something out of that and say, I'm going to do it differently? Like the whole idea of learning while losing, I don't know. I don't buy that.
I don't buy it when you're actually out there playing. I don't buy that you step up to the plate in the ninth and say, oh, yeah, I did this last year.
Yeah,
so
I screwed up, so no, I'm not going to screw up this year.
I don't buy that at all, but I think maybe the experience
exactly.
of it all.
But what does that mean, though?
But
you're at the top of your profession. You're in the best league in the world, and you go up there and you try to do good things.
Let me.
That's what I don't get. I don't understand the idea of.
Too.
Huh?
Well, no, go ahead.
All right, let me just say this of what I've heard from former athletes, because obviously I can't speak to it. But I've heard this from a lot of former athletes who have won Stanley Cups, Super Bowls, MLB titles, NBA titles. They said the first time it was about getting the family there. And I know they're not in the World Series.
Right,
this is
process.
The ALCS.
Yeah.
But it was, we got to get tickets for the family because they're coming. We got to do this. We're going out for dinner.
Well,
because,
you're an idiot if you put that on your own plate.
No, but the point is, some guys do. I'm just telling you. This doesn't apply to everyone. But then I've heard this so many times from athletes. They said, the second time I realized, I'm turning my phone off. Screw
right.
everyone else. I don't care. I'm getting locked in. I'm not going to miss this opportunity. Doesn't mean that they won because of it necessarily or lost because of it. But maybe you change your routine
yeah.
a little bit the second time
that's,
around.
That's where I was heading. The experience of it all. The first time, you're just a deer in the headlights. That's what you're basically just trying to deal with everything. I think the second, the third time, it's more you've been there, done that. And I'm not talking about the actual play on the ice or the field or anything. Just from a lot of the distractions, a lot of the process. I think you learn from that, and that helps you. I think that helps ease your game, your mental game, because it's all mental. At that point, you're banged up, you're mentally exhausted by the end of a season, and you're basically flying at the probably on adrenaline and firing in all cylinders. You're probably at the best or the top of your game. But to achieve that night in and night out, I know from talking to guys in 04 when the Flames went to the finals, you know, there were guys that needed, I'm not lying, like 60 tickets. You got all these floaters and, you know, people that are coming in, friends of friends and cousins, uncles, brothers and that. Like, that's a distraction. And you have to find a way to lock all that out. I think that's the type of stuff, the minute that you hit the ice or hit the field or the mound or wherever, you just play the game.
I would like to believe that that happens. Again, this is the ALCS, not the World Series, so it's not even the pinnacle in terms of potential distractions. But I'm with you in terms of when they're actually out there. Like, I don't believe Donaldson's going to step up to the plate tonight and say, okay, back game one ALCS, I remember what I did in Kansas City.
Last year.
That doesn't happen. It's not going to happen.
No. I went to the finals, and I didn't have a whole lot of playoff experience. I didn't say, like, it's just go out there and, I don't know. You know that I simplify everything, and it's just go, just do it. Go out there and do it.
Well, and the thing is, one of the teams going to lose tonight. And I can already picture the long layoff kind of, we're a bit rusty. Both teams have had a long layoff. I don't want to hear that excuse out of the Blue Jays if they lose, out of the Indians if they lose. It's a ridiculous, bogus cop-out because you were both out for a long time. You've both been off all week. You both could potentially be rusty. And it's been a strange week here in Toronto because it doesn't feel like there's as much buzz as you would expect for the game tonight. Where that's not to say people won't be ready for the game. Of course they will be. And once the game gets going, the Blue Jays are going to take over again in the city. But because they've been off all week, and because Matthews did what he did on Wednesday, there's been distractions.
Right.
There's been a bit of a different road taken to the ALCS.
I agree.
It just feels different. Like last year, maybe because it was more of a turnaround because they went to five games against Texas, and I think they had one day off, and then boom, they're in Kansas City. Maybe had 2 days off. But it was just a very different feel, and the whole season felt a lot different. But I'm expecting huge ratings and huge buzz once the game gets going. But
sure,
it's a game day today, and I don't know if I have that same feeling. It's a different sensation than what I had last
year. Well, once you realize that Josh Donaldson benefited from the rest and goes yard twice, maybe, you'll get into it.
And that's
because you want to talk about one guy that benefited from that. How often do you get 4 or 5 days for a guy that's seriously injured or has some kind of hip issue? He's my X factor of the series.
You think so?
He's the guy. We determined that late in the year, that if he doesn't hit and doesn't produce, the team doesn't win. He's their MVP.
Yeah.
He has been for 2 years.
But I think the parrot man has to be the guy.
It can't be one guy. Donaldson, you can't expect him to get you to the World Series on your own.
Brian, I throw up when I read these articles. Obviously, the Jays are getting attention south of the border. And everyone I read, they're like, it's obvious Encarnacion's not going to be back there now. I'm just like, God, I can't read it.
Well, it's the exact same thing that happened with DeRozan and the Raptors. Every talking head in the States
he's a Laker, he's from Compton, he's going back there for sure.
Right.
And what happened? He signed a monster deal and he wants to be a Raptor his whole career. I don't believe for a second Edwin would choose anywhere else over the Blue Jays. I think if the money was equal, I absolutely believe he'd be back.
Well, don't ask the guy you're about to talk to.
Well, because he's a Red Sox
fan,
and he wants him probably to go to Boston. And I get it, and I'm sure Boston will kick tires. I would be surprised if they didn't. But don't listen. It's so easy for it's our own medicine being shoved down our own throat. Because how often did we talk about, oh, Stamkos, of course he's coming back to Toronto.
We actually deserve it.
We do. Oh, Subban, or Tavares is going to do it. And I'm sure Lightning fans and Islanders fans are like, screw you guys up there. Like, who the hell do you think you are?
You're right.
And, the Lakers.
It's a great point.
The Red Sox, the Leafs, they're all kind of similar in terms of the size of their fan base and how people there just assume, of course, people are going to want to go play there.
Should we bring in the man?
No, let's bring in Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. What's up, Ray?
I'm just thinking what Edwin's going to look like hitting after bats.
You're such a loser.
He's going to look so good there.
Yeah, well, you can't have any parrots. We have the parrots. We're keeping them here, and we're selling them still in the dome.
No, but Boston has a giant parrot because I think Sandoval's back next year. He's really working out hard.
That's a good point. There's your bat that will replace David Ortiz.
They need to get him a belt. Remember when his belt exploded this year?
Yeah, that was in spring training.
Oh, my God. The guy weighed about 290.
I forgot that he was even a part of the Red Sox.
No kidding.
Doesn't he have, what does he have left on his deal?
Oh, lots.
I think he's got 3 years, $70 million or something.
Yeah.
He signed a $90 million contract.
It was like 20 a year, close, 18, 20 million a year.
Oh, and he just ate himself out of this season?
Well, he got injured, but yeah, basically showed up. Remember the picture?
Yeah.
Remember the picture where his shirt came up and you could see his barrel? And
yeah,
he was
looking a little rough.
Bartolo Colon looks like a triathlete next to him.
It's true. But Sandoval's got 3 rings, I believe, from San Francisco. He was a playoff performer. They could have actually used him against Cleveland.
He can play the game, but not when he's dragging around a blocking sled.
Well, O just brought up this conversation we were having before you came on about how experience actually factors into performance when you've been somewhere for the second time. Like the Jays are going back to the ALCS for the second year in a row, and some pundits are saying, well, clearly they'll be more comfortable because they've been there before. Like, do you actually buy that? Does that actually factor in if you're sitting there down 0-2 in a count in the ninth inning, like all of a sudden you're just going to snap out of it and say, oh, that's right, I've been here before. Now I'm going to hit a home run.
Well, I buy into it a little bit. For example, did you watch the end of the Giants game last night?
Yes.
Or the
Dodgers game.
Yeah, when Kershaw came in to face the Nationals guy.
Mm-hmm.
So they're down to their last hitter. He's a young guy, 24 years old. He didn't have a chance.
No.
And perhaps a guy that is more experienced would not be quite as panicked. I mean, when he threw that last curveball, that kid could have had a Bodor and not hit it. And so I do believe in it. Like, when the Jays were stumbling around in September, you know, now I'm reading articles, oh, you know, that got them battle-tested. And look, it's a long season, and sometimes you just go dry, and they did for a month, and Boston couldn't miss for a month. What I think is when you struggle and you've been there before, you know what the road out of the struggle is. You can't always get to it easy, but you know where it is. And if you're inexperienced, you're flailing around like crazy because you're panicked. It's way easier to be panicked when you haven't been there before or you haven't experienced something before.
I guess maybe, Ray, two great examples are on the golf course. If you look at what Rory McIlroy did at the back nine of the Masters, and then I believe a month later he won the U.S. Open. And Dustin Johnson, same thing. He choked all over himself out there, and then he's winning a U.S. Open. So I don't know.
And they've got to make tough shots under extreme pressure. And McIlroy, I remember the drive he hit on 10 at the Masters. And
yeah,
they said
it was in a backyard.
They said they didn't even know the cabins were there.
Yeah.
Because he hit it so far left. I do think it does matter. I do think it does help Toronto in this series. But I also think it helps if you're good. Like, you can be experienced and no good,
mm-hmm.
and you still don't have a chance. If you're good and you've got some stuff that you can draw upon, I think it's a huge advantage for you.
Maple Leafs home opener tomorrow night, and it's going to be picked up by NBC Sports Network tomorrow night. And the president of NBC Sports, I think, came out today and said, make no mistake, this is about one player. Like, this isn't because we want to see the Maple Leafs or see the Bruins. This is simply because of Auston Matthews. And I'm not surprised. I think it's the right programming note. I think if you're a hockey fan in the States, you want to see him play. Everyone heard about what he did on Wednesday night. But as a hypothetical, I'll throw this out. We can go around the table on this. If you're the NHL, let's say you're Gary Bettman, and you could pluck either Auston Matthews off the Maple Leafs or Connor McDavid off the Oilers and put him on the New York Rangers, which one do you think you would take?
Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
I would take McDavid.
Yep. I agree.
Just a different level.
Even though Matthews is the American kid from Phoenix. I mean, that's a great story for the NHL.
Where's Mark Messier from?
Well, I don't know. Wayne Gretzky was a Canadian kid, and he went to L.A. and.
Oh, I know, but that's what I'm saying. That story's been told before.
Messier's from.
Yeah, there's been a lot of great Canadian players playing in American markets, but I don't know.
I just think Connor McDavid is. We've heard all the time about the next one, the next one, the next one. He's just, to me, he's just different. I think he's just an amazing, amazing player. And that's not to take anything away from Crosby or Ovechkin, or now we're talking about Auston Matthews so much, but McDavid is just, I think McDavid has the potential to put numbers up that other people just can't.
Well, and doesn't McDavid, for me, like I know, like I'll be watching, I know the baseball game, but I'm watching that Oiler-Calgary game tonight. You guys watched the Oiler-Calgary game the other night in Ottawa. Why'd you watch it? You didn't watch it to see Cam Talbot play.
We talked about was McDavid.
You watch it because of McDavid. And Auston Matthews, that's why you're watching the Toronto Maple Leafs right now. And that's all, with all due respect to seven rookies that played in that game or seven guys that were new with the Maple Leafs. Because Mitch Marner is an unreal player in the making as well. But these star players, that's what draws fan base. I mean, Nashville's going to be a lot more watched this year right? Because we're going to see what PK Subban's up to. You know,
I think the league is I think the league's been behind this for years. You know, it's always been about, you know, about the team versus the team, and I know it's part of our hockey culture, but man, people want to see as much as they can. They want to see great performance, and you're liable to catch a great performance from a great player as opposed to focusing on a team. Because for years, NBC's whole visual schedule was around Washington and Pittsburgh. And it wasn't because of the teams. It was because of Crosby and Ovechkin. And Matthews is the latest, greatest story. And what he did was astounding. And I am absolutely on board with promoting these players as individuals and the team coming along after. That's what they do in the NBA. And if it's a niche market, then you better get your stars out front of it.
Well, then you better get to the coaches and the GMs and tell them to shut up about talking about team first all the time.
Luck with that.
But that's the whole thing. I mean, that's where, again, there are crossroads here in every sport. Where these people, they didn't come up in the NHL. They all came up through minor hockey or minor basketball, football, whatever, and they were in it because they loved it, because that's what they wanted to do, and that's the background that every hockey guy comes from. Is when you're a young kid, you're told team first, name on the front as opposed to the back. But it's also a business. It's an entertainment business, and you're really in it to make your owners as much money as possible, and you do work for your owners. And, you know, you always hear about these orientation camps where people are going to come together and talk about so many different topics. Like, that would be brilliant. That would be groundbreaking if a league brought all of their GMs and coaches together one day in an offseason and said, this is the way we sell. This is what we do now. And we're going to fine you if you come out and say, like, listen to Lou Lamoriello, who's the Mr. Hockey.
Right.
Mr. Team First. Right? Lou was asked about how great it would be if Austin Matthews won the Calder Trophy. He said, I don't care if you... He said, I wouldn't even care. Or he said, it's more about the team. I don't remember his exact wording. Like, right. Really, Lou? You can't be like, oh, that would be great for the Leafs and great for the fans. You can't even allow yourself to accept that individual achievement would be a good thing for the team?
They have to drag coaches and managers and owners kicking and screaming into the new age. Like, the new age, people want information. They want to know what's going on. The fact that some coaches still don't tell you the starting goaltender is, in my opinion, a finable offense. Nobody cares. I just read that, is it Bauer clipped his finger on the drone?
Yeah.
And he's not starting game two, and so they've made a pitching adjustment for game two. Well, why do we know the starting pitchers a week in advance? The Jays laid out their starting rotation for the series. And we can't find out if it's, well, in Anaheim, if it's John Gibson or the backup, because Randy Carlyle's not going to tell you. And, of course, he won't. He should be fined. The team should be fined. You want to bring people information. You want them to be interested. They want to know. And what could possibly be damaged by putting out your 22-man roster for the game? So you've got an extra forward and an extra defenseman, and you've got the goaltender, the starting goaltender name. Put it out on your website at 10 o'clock in the morning. Like, what would be so difficult about that? But our league is stuck back in 1973, like there's some competitive advantage. I didn't care who was playing goal for the other team. It's not like I was going to adjust my whole strategy if it was Marty Brodeur or Chris Terreri. I don't know. They were both pretty... They were just the guy standing at the other end of the net, right? Like, there's no change to be made like a pitcher. We're not changing the lines or... I don't get it. I'm astounded that this is even an issue.
I agree, Ray, but I'm selfishly saying that because I just want to do my lineup if I'm doing color. It's so so frustrating standing in those scrums and the coaches say, well, you'll find out in warm-up. And you're like, really? Like, you know, like... And not even the starting goaltender. I'd just like to know the lines. Like, it doesn't really matter if who's on what line. To me, like, Ray, you make the great point. Like, who cares who's playing with who? But from a fan's perspective or somebody sitting at home watching, it's more education. It's more information, and that's, you know,
it's smart business is what it is. And
that's what the NFL does, right?
The NFL's forced to do it. Yeah, they have to tell you who's playing, who's in, who's out, when they're in, when they're out, because it's a TV-driven league, and TV wants to know. There's a gambling factor. Absolutely there is. They won't admit it publicly, but 100% it is. But still, gambling generates a lot of revenue for them indirectly. But this is, again, one of those situations where it's like, it's as if these guys don't have bosses. As if Randy Carlyle doesn't have a boss. Like, if you're the owner, you go up to Randy and you say, here's the way this works, Randy. What, do you think he's going to quit?
By the way, things aren't going too good for Randy.
Well, their goalie couldn't stop anything last night.
I'm just saying, it wasn't an impressive preseason. It's not good. Good one, Randy.
I read an article that he's friendlier this year, more calm.
Wow.
They're one game in. They outshot, didn't they outshoot Dallas 17-1 in the first period?
Yeah, it was.
And they tied 1-1.
Yeah, it was. I watched some of that game last night, and Anaheim did everything they could. Like, they should have won that game. Like, John Gibson didn't play very well, and Antti Niemi played actually very well for Dallas. But Anaheim, I thought, did a terrific job. It was just, I mean, Dallas pushed a little bit in the third and got the shot total up, I think, to 20. But it was a false 20, in my opinion.
Well, you talk about one game. Did you guys see John Tortorella post-game last night?
Yeah.
Not even close?
Did you see? Here, let's just play a couple of his clips. We don't have to play the whole thing, Moles.
Love it.
Just pick any one. Yeah, pick that one. This is where he's talking about, after one game, how he feels about where they are as a team.
Don't put it on the young defense. There are other things that guys have played in this league so long that, yeah, well, I'm not going to break it down, but right on through the game, I don't think we're even close.
I'm firing him today.
That's the vibe you give off to your team?
Yeah. After what happened in Vancouver.
I watched the game. The first goal, he said, don't blame the young defense. The first goal, Werenski had the puck behind the net, and he went to pass it D to D. Marchand intercepted it, and it went and he passed it out, and Pasternak scored. The last goal, the fifth goal, Marchand went down the right wing. He danced a rookie Finnish defenseman playing his first game in the league and scored. But two of the five goals. Like, there were other mistakes, of course, but if you've got a young team, there's going to be days and days early that aren't going to be so pretty. But, he looked like they were in a nine-game losing streak.
Yeah, but why is he the guy that's going to get this young team to the next level? After those comments today, we're not even close. After you're just coming out of training camp in the first game of the year, as a GM or an owner, I just wouldn't put up with it. I'd just say, sorry, goodbye.
Well, they better not. They shouldn't be surprised. I mean, that's John's way, right? Like, he's rarely going to blow sunshine, that's for sure.
Okay, then just get ready for it all year long then and listen to it, and it's going to be painful, and you deserve it because you won't change it.
That's a fun start for the vets, eh?
Oh, that's terrible, man.
Creating an environment where everyone's hating to come to work on day two.
They're the youngest team in the league.
And they had it. I mean, they had a nice little jump on Boston. They were up 3-1. Like, I was tracking that game on the computer, and I'm like, Columbus had a nice start. Tuukka Rask didn't have a great start. But it was the Brad Marchand show. And I said this to Brian off air, player of the week, Marchand or Matthews?
Matthews.
It'll probably come down to tomorrow's game, will it not?
Might.
Head to
just
head.
Might.
I don't know.
Well, McDavid plays tomorrow too, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, he plays tonight.
Tonight. So
that'll be interesting. I mean, it's been a fun couple of days to kick off the year, outside of the massive injury problems all of a sudden throughout the league.
How about Buffalo? Seriously.
It's almost as if they're done. Like, yeah. Eichel's out for a long time. Kane's out for a long time.
Their goalie sucks.
They got a couple of other injuries too, like Oposo's out. It feels almost like Buffalo season is over and they're one game in.
Go ahead and go right into tank mode.
They've already been there, haven't they?
Yeah.
I know, but what else do you do? I mean, I don't know. We got to fly, pal.
Okay, chum. Have a good weekend, Nick.
We'll see you, Ray. See you on Monday, Ray.
Yeah, later on, boy.
There's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst.
You gave me the wrap-up sign, so no, I wrapped it up.
You're right. And listen, I know we just said what we said about Tortorella, but we're allowed to have this conversation from the outside. What we're saying is if you're the coach, you should be giving off a more positive vibe than that. But if you're looking at the Eastern Conference, Buffalo, who's not a great team anyway, you know, the hope was maybe they'd make another step forward and they'd hover around a playoff spot. But if Eichel's out for a long time, Kane's out for a while, Oposo's out, it's another guy of substance that's out as well. They could be in big trouble already.
Kulikov.
Yeah, Kulikov, that's
yeah,
it.
Sorry, I was thinking there.
Columbus is the youngest team in the league. They're a bad team. No one expects them to do anything. So, again, from a Leaf perspective, if you're talking about trying to hover, if you feel like Buffalo's in big trouble, if you feel like Columbus is done, there's two teams you can kind of push aside. The Leafs aren't finishing top three in the division, right? So take that out of it. You're talking about wild card spots.
Right.
Three in the Atlantic, three in the Metro. That means you're talking seven teams fighting for two spots.
Yeah.
Can they stay in the range with seven teams? Who knows?
Well, they're on pace for 82 points right now.
Which would not be good enough.
But it'd be close. That's the thing. It's
wild cards, low 90s.
Yeah, but you're within striking distance. That's what isn't that what we're talking about in that gray area?
Yeah.
From 7 to 12?
Mm-hmm.
That's where the Leafs will fall. Nothing wrong with that for a team that is this young and building the right way.
And coming off a dead last standing a year ago.
Exactly.
Bob McKenzie in just over an hour. Scotty Mack live from Cleveland teeing up game one of the ALCS. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app.
This is the ultimate grit grinding song for the drive home in a pickup truck.
No, this is...
This song makes you veer into a convenience store and buy cigarettes.
Grass beer.
Don't even smoke, but you know what? I'm getting them.
Just a natural reaction.
This is a T-Tops Firebird Trans Am.
Let's talk to our main man down in the Cleve.
There's some grit grinders in Cleveland. That, like when you hear the term blue collar town,
dump.
That's kind of what they mean. Is
It's a gritty city.
Kind of dumpy town.
Edmonton, Alberta is a blue collar city.
Solid peel joint though, right on the water.
Let's bring in Scott MacArthur. Are you familiar with that peeler joint, Scotty?
Well, guys, I can tell you this, that we were out last night and we were pretty much the only people in the bar. And this is one of the more popular stops. Just like Progressive Field is on one side and then Quicken Loans Arena where the Cavaliers play is right there. And then on the other side is kind of the street where the life is, or you think the life is, but maybe not on a midweek night when nothing else is going on. It is a quiet town at night and sometimes just a little bit eerie.
I could see that.
I had the same thing happen when I was there. You go out, there's nobody out.
It's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Like it's an American city and you wonder what's going on here. Like why is no one around? But anyway, they'll be around tonight because game one of the ALCS and today actually marks the 1 year anniversary of game five of the ALDS from a year ago.
Bat flip?
The bat flip game. Joey Bats. And ESPN has written a piece, so they have a piece up. And you may have seen it. I'm not sure you did, Scotty. But I think you got to be careful here because this is probably the editor. It's clickbait. But the title is, on this date, Bautista's epic bat flip, an unforgettable hit, ignites a nation's baseball fans. As if that was the night where the whole country decided to jump on the bandwagon. The fact is, it was well before that, and this team's been around for 40 years. But in terms of significance of that moment a year ago, I mean, how much of that kind of sparked even more life going into this season, in your opinion?
Well, I think it definitely helped. But guys, it was pretty clear a couple months before that when they went and got Troy Tulowitzki and David Price. I mean, those were really the cornerstone deals that made last season what it was, and the sellout crowds that followed those two trades as the team won 43 of its final 61 regular season games. I really think that was the turning point. But, I mean, when we look back in 10 or 15 or 20 years, we'll remember the deals, but we won't necessarily remember individual moments that happened in August or September we will remember the iconic bat flip in the same way that we'll remember Edwin Encarnacion throwing up his arms as he hit the home run that won the wild card game. Those are definitely iconic moments. And is this a baseball renaissance in Canada? I mean, a guy like me certainly hopes that it is. But it's also going to depend on how this team performs going forward, because it's been more than proven, not just in Toronto, but really from Victoria out west to St. John's out east, that this country has responded to this team. And so if it continues to win, if it continues to remain in contention year over year, yeah, we'll look back on the bat flip and those trades as the moments that, that maybe really helped this franchise turn the corner and remind us of the early 1990s. But if this team goes into the gutter 2 or 3 years from now, I wouldn't be surprised if you're back seeing 15 or 20,000 fans in the place. Toronto's really no different than any other city, and I don't say that with any hint of criticism. Really, if you're not winning, unless you're the Maple Leafs, if you're not winning, you're going to see a significant number of empty seats in the stadium night in and night out.
Well, and this is their second time to the ALCS in 2 years, and we were talking about, you know, that kind of experience, if it actually factors in to the performance during the games. You've been traveling with the team, I'm sure, talking to some players. Do they feel like this is any different, or is it just baseball and it happens to be in October?
Well, I think they do realize a difference. And Jose Bautista was talking about it yesterday when he was asked the question, Hayes, and he said, look, at the end of the day, we're just playing a baseball game. And baseball is baseball, whether it's April or October. The difference, though, is that in the playoffs, you've got a number of more off days than you're accustomed to in the regular season. And you don't necessarily know what time your game is going, especially in the early round, the division series. You don't necessarily know what time your next game is going to be until as late as the night before. Because remember, when the Jays and Cleveland were both up 2-0 in their series, the Cleveland-Boston Game 3 ended up being a rainout. But the initial plan was that if the Jays got to a Game 4, that game would be at 1:08 in the afternoon if Boston and Cleveland got to a Game 4, because they would play at 6:08. But if Boston and Cleveland ended up in a sweep and the Jays had to go to a Game 4, well, then that game was going to be at 6:08 at night. So it's just little adjustments in terms of routine, because these guys are, remember, they play 162 games in 183 days in the regular season. Typically, weekends are day games, and weekdays are night games. They have their routines. They know what it takes to get ready. So there's just little adjustments around that. But outside of that, other than the fact that the stakes are higher and you got to be the first to win 3 out of 5 or 4 out of 7, it's just going out there and executing night in and night out.
With Scott MacArthur, our Blue Jays reporter, live from Cleveland ahead of Game 1 tonight of the ALCS. Marco Estrada up against Corey Kluber. The lineup was unveiled a couple of hours ago. Devin Travis will, in fact, play tonight. He's going to hit ninth. Is he close to 100%? I mean, how would you define his status going into Game 1?
I don't think he's 100%, and he's not going to be for the rest of the year, but it's about pain management. And he took a cortisone shot in that right knee where he has a bone bruise on Saturday, and that's why he wasn't available toward the end of the Texas series. And so they're carrying Ryan Goins, as well as Darwin Barney, as backup middle infielders instead of Justin Smoke, because if at any point Travis needs a game or two to sit, if you were to replace him on the ALCS roster, an injury replacement, you would lose him for the World Series. So by taking Goins instead of Smoke, you now have a backup to the backup. And so if Travis has to sit for a game or two, they can do that and still have somebody to throw out there and have a backup middle infielder, because what they don't want to do is lose Devin Travis for the remainder of the playoffs if he's good to go. And, you know, with Justin Smoke, guys, I'm not making this up, he has one hit since August 31st and has not had an at-bat in October because he was not used as a pinch hitter in the wild card game or in the division series. And he's not even being used as a late game defensive replacement for Edwin Encarnacion at first base. And Encarnacion's defense has been very, very good. So You could see Travis defensively replaced in games late where the Blue Jays have a one or a two-run lead if they feel like they can take his bat out. And Goins has a little bit more range, or even Darwin Barney out there. But Travis is not 100%. It's a pain management issue, and he is going to start. And I think he's probably going to be batting ninth, A, because it means his spot comes up typically one less time in a game, and B, if he is defensively replaced later in the game, that means you don't have Ryan Goins or Darwin Barney hitting in front or directly in front of Josh Donaldson.
Good stuff, buddy. Enjoy it tonight, tomorrow, and we'll catch you back in Toronto on Monday.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
There's Scott MacArthur, a Jays reporter, live from Cleveland, Ohio.
You think he got after it last night? Really?
Yeah, I think he has to get after it.
Is Dutchie down there?
Oh, no. The Kumite.
That's not good. That's not a guy you want to roll with if you're trying to take it easy.
Well, Dutchie's a Saskatchewan boy.
You think he could cause some problems?
Mm-hmm.
For sure. That's the thing. You just ride on the coattails of Dutchie.
But Cleveland's not a town you circle and say, I can't wait to get there. Like, think about the World Series potentials.
It's a dump.
Los Angeles or Chicago?
Yeah.
It's Dodgers, Cubs. One of the two are waiting for you in the World Series.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, the media guys in Chicago and L.A. are saying, please, Cleveland, don't get to the World Series. Please let me go to Toronto instead of Cleveland. With customs being what it is.
Well, Toronto's known as a great city to people, especially in pro sports. This is a city that you circle on the calendar.
Exactly.
You're at Shaq.
There's life here in Toronto.
Remember when we had Shaq on the show, he said, no problem, out all night.
That's what I'm saying. Cleveland, pretty far down that list, I would think.
I would think so.
But let's not put
the
cart before the horse.
To Major League, the movie. It's not far off.
Construction workers and...
It is a gritty city, but there's nothing wrong with that. It's just it's from an entertainment standpoint.
There's a casino downtown. Do some work in the casino, but that's about it.
Don't hang out there too late.
Or Steve Simmons will find you. Steve will find you.
That's right. Forgot about that.
Bob McKenzie, in about 40 minutes, we'll hit the Grit Grinder next.
And now it's time for the 40-30 Wrangler Low Center of Gravity Grit Player of the Game.
I'm a professional grinder.
We do have a little grit and grind when we reach in our pants and pull it out.
All right, time now for the 40-30 Low Center of Gravity Grit Grinder, brought to you by Wrangler Advanced Comfort Jeans.
I got a three-pack, Clayton Kershaw, two wins and a save, and no complaints. Love it. Thanks. Blake Wheeler from the Jets. That was actually, I don't think I'd ever say that the Jets-Canes would be a dynamic game. It was a
pretty
lot of fun
game
to watch.
Yep.
He was a big part of their comeback. And a shout-out to one of my buddies, Wojtek Volski.
Yeah.
He was injured over in Russia. One of my buddies, great guy. Hope he gets better.
Yeah, he's out for the season, but it's all about his health right now, for sure. That's scary stuff. I'll go with Brad Marchand. Get a five-pack. And they were down against Columbus. That's what caused Torts to have his little comments last night, and it was all on the little ball of hate.
That was a horrible post-game press conference. Like, honestly.
Game one, and he pulls that.
Just, it's embarrassing. Like,
you hate him. I feel like you do.
It's nothing personal. I don't know the guy. I don't like his antics.
That's what his antics.
I would hate him to be the coach of the Maple Leafs. Hate it. I think he treats people poorly.
You not agree with me? If you were the GM, you'd fire him today. Like, right
but
today.
But the GM just hired him. And got an extension somehow recently.
How the hell does he get an extension?
Well, John Davidson got one, too.
They
I know.
Are a young team.
But still, they've made some mistakes. I'll go with Dave Keon as my grit grinder.
There you go. Good.
Today announced as the number one Leaf of all time in the Leafs unveiling of the top 100 Maple Leafs. And he was a two-way grit grinder. Won a bunch of cups, no helmet. Any
Gritty.
Player that played with no helmet. I got a lot of time for them. McTavish, absolutely.
I can remember talking to Ronnie Francis on the bus, and I was like, who was your first roommate? He said, Dave Keon.
He seems like a bit of a crustier old guy, too.
Yep.
Well, he's been brought back
into the
loop.
Black and white clips of Dave Keon. I was like, who was your first roommate? He's like, Dave Keon in Hartford.
So Ronnie Francis did what he was told, probably.
Yes.
Yeah. I would think.
Those guys were grit grinders.
Smoked in the room. Windows closed.
The 4030 Low Center of Gravity Grit Grinder was brought to you by Wrangler Advanced Comfort Jeans. Built with U-shaped construction and four-way flex technology, they're the most comfortable jeans you'll ever wear.
Guaranteed.
Final hour up next. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app.